Good morning, friends. It's really good to be with you. It's the first time that I'm with you in the new year. So I'd like to, if I may, just to take this opportunity of just inviting God's blessing upon your life this year. I guess we all enter into the year with hopes and dreams and fears. And I really do pray that for each one of us, 2015 will be a year of walking very deeply with God. And I hope that our theme today will help us to do just that, to walk deeply with God. Our theme is Friends for the Journey, and I'm going to read to you from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, and I want you to watch how he ends his letter. There are a number of names in this piece of scripture that I cannot pronounce. So as I read, will you pray for me that I'll have the gift of tongues to be able to pronounce all these funny names that don't come easily to my own tongue. Let's listen to God's word to us today. Paul writes, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friends Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding amongst the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and our dear friend Statius. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord." We thank God for that reading, and we pray that through that reading, God will speak to us today. In my first message to you in 2015 today, I would like to extend to you, if I may, just a very simple invitation. And I hope that you're going to receive this invitation. I hope you're going to open it up. I hope you're going to think about it very carefully. And obviously, I hope that you will respond positively. It's an invitation that comes right off the pages of the Bible. It's an invitation that we see in the life of Jesus. It's an invitation that we see expressed in the lives of Christ followers throughout the centuries. It's an invitation that if we take it seriously, if we respond to it, it's an invitation that will help us to move beyond superficiality in our faith and in our discipleship. It's an invitation that will help us to walk deeply, deeply with Christ in 2015. It's a very simple invitation. Here it comes. Will you intentionally cultivate spiritual friendship this year? Will you intentionally cultivate spiritual friendship this year? Now let's be honest. I think most of us in this auditorium today find that invitation quite difficult, quite scary. We often like to be spiritual loners. We want to go it on our own. We like to keep our faith a little bit private. We don't want to talk about it too much. But the consequences of being a spiritual loner are tragic. We never grow up. We never go beyond superficiality. We never walk deeply with God. All of us in this auditorium, all of us need a spiritual friend in our lives. Someone who prays for us regularly and deeply. Someone with whom we can speak about the deep things of our soul, our longings, our yearnings, our struggles, our contradictions. Someone who will keep pointing us to Christ, because so often we lose our focus. Someone who will keep us rooted in God. That's what spiritual friendship does. I'm not talking about romantic friends. I'm not talking about buddies at work. I'm not talking about guys that you can have a beer with around the bar. All of those people are important. I'm speaking about a spiritual friend. And I think many of us just don't have one. For a number of years, I think for about 10 years it was, myself and a friend, his name was Vaughan, he's a clinical psychologist, he works down in Durban, and together, once a year we would go away on retreat with 20 men. It was a wonderful, wonderful time of ministry in my own life, a wonderful privilege, and for 48 hours together with 20 guys, we would talk about four things. We would talk about our relationships with our fathers. Lots of pain there. We would talk about the work that we do every day. We would talk about the theme of sexuality and intimacy in our life. And then we would talk about spiritual friendship and our need for a spiritual friend. And I will never forget one weekend, there was a guy, I think he was in his late 30s, someone who had invested, I think, a lot of his energy and his life in the building of a business. And we were sitting around, 20 odd of us, and he said these words, and I've never forgotten them. He said, "You know, I've got many acquaintances. I've got many colleagues. I've got many business associates. I've got many friends that I can share a beer with around a braai. I don't have a spiritual friend." Don't have a spiritual friend. Can I ask you if you have one? Do you have one? Someone who encourages you in your life with God. Come with me just for a moment into the Bible. Have you noticed in the Bible, have you ever noticed this? That everyone who walks deeply, well, nearly everyone who walks deeply with God in the Bible has a spiritual friend. David and Jonathan. Do Do you remember them? Deep soul friends. Ruth and Naomi, do you remember those two women? How they encouraged each other and kind of helped each other in their life with God. Mary and Elizabeth in the New Testament. Jesus, even Jesus, the unique Son of God, his close friends. And in John chapter 17, he says these words, which have always meant so much to me. Verse 24, he says to the Father, Father, thank you for these men who have been your gift to me. Your gift to me. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus sends out his disciples, he sends them out two by two, two by two. But the person I want to focus on is Paul. You must have been wondering why I wanted to read that list with all those names I couldn't pronounce. I just wanted to make one big, big point that Paul, who this passionate apostle of Jesus Christ, that his whole life was rooted in spiritual friendship. Men and women who encouraged him and who risked their lives for him, who nurtured him, who nourished him, and who he was a spiritual friend to as well. And that's what we need in our life. That's what we need. We cannot be spiritual loners. We will never move beyond superficiality. Can I extend this invitation to you today? I want to whet your appetite a bit. I want to try, and I'm going to do my best now, I want to try give you a vision of what genuine spiritual friendship looks like. Of what it's like to have a kind of Paul in your life, a real spiritual friend who encourages us. The first thing that I think often happens in a real spiritual friendship is that God uses spiritual friendship to keep our passion for God alive. To keep our passion, our focused passion for God alive. You know, Paul was passionate. You read the New Testament. Paul was passionate. Near the end of his life, he says these words, "All I want is to know Christ." That's passion for you. And that's what spiritual friendship does. It keeps that passion burning. You know this. I know this. Every day, our passion drains from us. Life gets busy, hectic. Stresses and strains, heartache, heartbreak, struggles at home, battles in relationship, battles with the kids. And all these things drain passion for God. They just drain passion. And I need someone in my life who's like an igniter, who ignites that passion. I never forget, I was 17 years of age. I had just given my life to Jesus Christ and I went on my first church camp. And we were sitting around a campfire that Saturday night. And I was sitting next to a plumber, a guy by the name of Eddie. I think he was my first real spiritual friend. He was the first Paul in my life. And as we sat around that fire, he said, "Trevor, I want to do something and I want you to notice something." And he got two logs and he went to this fire, this roaring fire, and he took one burning log out of that fire and he put it on its own. And he said to me, while we were singing around the fire, he said, "Trevor, I want you to watch. I'm 17 years of age. I want you to watch what happens to that log." And over the next 30, 40, 50 minutes, I watched that log lose its glow. I watched the fire in that log go out. And he said to me these words, I've never forgotten them. He said, "Trevor, that's what happens when you go it alone." That's what happens. You lose your glow. Anyone here today, you've just lost your passion for God. Can I say, so often God uses a spiritual friend to reignite our passion for the Lord. But can I say something more? It's within spiritual friendship that God changes us, that God transforms us, that God does His inner renovation of our hearts and of our minds. It's within spiritual friendship. Spiritual friendship provides the climate for the Holy Spirit to get to work in the deep, deep places of our heart. Paul changed dramatically. You know this. Before he met Christ, he killed people in the name of God. And we know about that today, don't we? He was an extremist he became violent in his religion. It was a terrible thing. And then he meets Christ, and that aggressive, violent heart gets changed. He becomes a man who is able to love profoundly. And that's what spiritual friendship does. It's within spiritual friendship that the Holy Spirit begins to get to work on our hearts. You know, the scariest thing about sin is this. We don't see it in our own life. We don't see it. I think I'm a great husband. Speak to Debbie. She'll give you the lowdown. She knows the sinful patterns of my heart and my mind. That's the scary thing about sin. We don't see it in ourselves. And we need a spiritual friend who's able to maybe put his or her finger on those things that need to change, those things that contradict the way of Christ. We've all got an Achilles heel. We all limp somewhere. And someone needs to help me recognize that limp. And all the time, keep pointing me to Christ. Because Christ alone can bring about that deep transformation of heart. And I need someone who keeps pointing me to Christ. I think of the spiritual friends I've had over the last 40 years who've put their finger on things in my life that have needed to change. I never forget, I was at Rhodes. You know Rhodes is the best university in South Africa. I never forget being at Rhodes. I was so arrogant. I think there's still bits and pieces of it around in my heart at the moment. I was just arrogant. I was a first year student. I knew everything. I had God all sorted out. And I never forget my first professor. And he became a spiritual friend. He took an interest in my life, not only as a student, but as a follower of Christ. And he saw this arrogance. And I never forget one day, he put his arm around me. We walk in through the courtyard. And he said, "Trevor, when you're in the presence of God, you will shut up and fall on your face. You will shut up and fall on your face." And it was like he was talking to me. He was putting his finger on something that needed to begin to change. And you most probably are thinking, with friends like that, who needs enemies? But that's what a spiritual friend does. There's one last thing I want to say about a spiritual friend. A spiritual friend helps us to see God at work in our life. A spiritual friend helps us to bring our faith and our life together, to integrate it. So often they are in two different compartments. We've got our faith here, our prayer, our Bible, our church. And over here we've got our marriage, our relationships, our work, our finances, our sexuality. And so often they are worlds apart. Worlds apart.
And we've got a split spirituality. And people outside the church look at us and they say, no, this doesn't make sense. And a spiritual friend helps us all the time to make connections between our faith and our life, between our faith and our life, all the time. Helps us to see where God is in our life. Last week, something happened to me that made me very, very angry and sad. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not going to tell you about it. But when I'm angry, I can respond very quickly and unhelpfully. And I had this turmoil in my own heart of anger, of disappointment, of sadness. And I wanted to hit back. Does that make sense? I don't know if you want to ever do that. On Monday, I had an opportunity to talk with a person who's really a spiritual friend in my life. And I just unpacked this. And then he asked me a wonderful question. He said, "Trevor, where do you think God is in this situation? How do you think God is wanting you to respond here?" And so I was able, with his help, to begin to bring my faith and my life together a bit. And I hope my response will be a little bit more healthy as a result. We all need a spiritual friend. Do you have one? Do you have one? Now, I think I know the question that's going around in your head right now. Where do I find one? Where do I find one? I think we need to pray about this. Lord, can you guide me? Can you help me? I then begin to look around a little bit. And people stand out. Who are people who listen carefully and well? Who are people who are the real deal when it comes to faith? Who are people whose faith and life go together? Who are people who have ups and downs, but stay focused on Christ? Who are people who are non-judgmental? Who are people that I can really unpack my soul with? And in all our spheres of friendship, there are people like that. And then we need to take a risk. And we need to say, do you mind if we just hang out now and then? Just hang out now and then. I need a spiritual friend. I need a spiritual friend. And it's risky because a person may say, no, I don't have time. Well, then we start the process again. About 5-6 weeks ago, I took a big risk. I felt I needed someone in my life who prayed every day for me. I didn't know anyone who did that. And I just felt, as I get older, I need someone who holds me intentionally in prayer every day. So I wrote to a woman who's a hermit. She lives on her own. She's written one or two books. She doesn't know me from a bar of soap. I said to her, "Dear," and I won't mention her name, I said, "Would you mind praying for me?" Now, she's a high-tech hermit. She's 81 years of age, and she emailed me back within a few minutes. She said, "Trevor, I would love to pray for you. I would love to pray for me." Every week on a Monday, she emails me, "Trevor, how can I hold you in prayer this week?" She's becoming a spiritual friend. She's on another continent, but she's a spiritual friend. And every day I'm held in the love of God by someone who cares for me and who prays. You need that. I need that. Let me end. The other day, something very sad happened. I found on my desk, this is terrible, I found on my desk an invitation to a wedding that I didn't open. The wedding had passed by. Somehow the invitation had got lost. And suddenly that moment became like God was speaking to me. The sadness of an unopened invitation. Today I'm offering you an invitation. I'm offering you an invitation. It's the invitation to intentionally cultivate this year spiritual friendship. And when we do, we are going to move from superficiality. We are going to move into a very deep walk with God in the joy and the sorrow, in the heartache and the heartbreak, in the mess and the muddle of everyday life. That's the invitation. Let's pray together.
God, we talk about deep things here on a Sunday, and they're not things that we usually speak about during the week. Thank you that you give us the gift of spiritual friendship through other people. Lord, thank you for, just first of all, just for the example of Paul, this incredible apostle, and how his life was supported and nourished and deepened by spiritual friendship. God, will you help us? We really want to move into depth this year with you. We want to journey through life deeply, deeply aware of your presence in all of life. We want you to be Lord of all. We can't go it on our own. Will you help us to become courageous, to take a few risks, to look around? And will you just help us, Lord, on this journey, that we may open this invitation and begin to discover the gift of spiritual friendship in our life. This is our prayer, and we offer it to you in the name of Christ our Lord, so that we also may be faithful to Him throughout our life. And we say together as God's people, Amen. May the joy of the risen Christ be with you. Take care, friends. God bless.